It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In Wisconsin's gubernatorial race, both candidates agree that more state funding needs to go to local police departments to address crime and public safety. But the style of their campaign's appeals on the issue couldn't be more different. Evan Casey reports.
You've likely seen the campaign ads by now. They're hard to miss.
We've witnessed a surge in crime, the theft, and shots fired.
Evers broke his promise. Now we're less safe than ever.
Tim Michaels will have our back.
And stand strong against violent crime.
In Wisconsin's gubernatorial race, Republican candidate Tim Michaels has blasted Democratic Governor Tony Evers for rising crime and said it would be one of his top priorities as governor. Evers has addressed the issue by pointing to spending increases he's made for local police departments across the state. No matter the candidate's approach, crime is one of the top issues that Wisconsin voters are focusing on this election. It's also a highly partisan issue. A Marquette University Law School poll found 74% of Republicans said they were concerned about crime, compared to just 38% of Democrats. Barry Burden is a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He says Michaels' campaign can benefit by attacking the incumbent on the issue.
As long as, you know, that is effective in reminding people about their concerns, maybe their fears about crime, it will maybe turn them against Governor Evers as they search for an alternative.
According to the State Department of Justice, violent crimes are up in recent years. Some national experts, and Evers himself, blame recent increases on the tumultuous pandemic years. But what can a governor do to address crime in a community? Kenneth Street is a law professor at UW-Madison. He says one method is a longer-term public health approach aimed at addressing the root causes of crime. Another approach? More state funding for local law enforcement.
If you were really going to have a vision as a governor, you'd say, I recognize that the local people have the best chance of understanding what kind of interventions could we do to turn it around.
Evers has said if he wins the race, he'd propose shared revenue increases for local governments. That plan includes $10 million for first responders. He's already allocated millions in federal pandemic relief funds for local police. The majority of those grants went to Milwaukee, which is seeing record numbers of homicides. Michaels has also committed to increasing state spending for local police, but he hasn't said how he'd pay for it. His Back the Blueprint plan calls for more police officers in, quote, dangerous neighborhoods across the state. That's encouraging to Andrew Wagner, the president of the Milwaukee Professional Police Association. That union endorsed Michaels for governor.
He doesn't want the status quo. He wants to increase that police force and make sure that the city has what they need to be safe.
But not everyone believes more cops is the answer. Angela Lang is a director of the Milwaukee-based community activist group Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, or BLOC. She believes Michaels' approach is the wrong one.
Some of the things that he supported, it feels very heavy-handed. It's very much, even if you go to his website, it's very much Back the Blue. Whereas in contrast, we see Governor Evers kind of lead with a more compassionate approach.
She wants to see more investment in public education, housing, healthcare, and mental health resources. Those are things Evers invested in with pandemic funds.
Those are what's going to help thriving communities and hopefully reduce crime as well.
Issues of crime and policing can be extremely contentious. And nowhere is that clear than in the campaign's discussion of Kenosha in 2020. After a police shooting there, the city erupted in protests and riots that turned deadly. Michaels and other prominent Republicans have made an effort to blame Evers for what they say was a lack of leadership during the crisis. Others support Evers' decision. Kyle Johnson is BLOC's political director. He lives in Kenosha, and he says Michaels is using the incident to score political points.
It's hogwash. I mean, I have stronger language that I could use, but I won't because you're on radio. But honestly, it's dishonest, and it's hurting people. It's costing people their safety.
The candidates met for their only debate last Friday. Michael said if he was elected, there would be a, quote, new sheriff in town. On November 8th, the voters will decide for themselves. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And now we go inside the world of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and the Wisconsin connection to the Gizmoplex, a cult comedy TV series that has breathed new life into a 13th season. Here's a moment from Santo and the Treasure of Dracula episode. Mad scientist Kinga Forrester provides some backstory to what she calls a bright and shining beacon to the worst that cinema has to offer.
For three decades, the Forrester family experiment has resided on a number of platforms.
Comedy Central,
the Sci-Fi Channel,
Netflix.
But my family thought too small. Why subject our homegrown experiment to the hands of thankless executives? When we can be the thankless executives.
Join in 800-642-1234. Joel Hodgson is here, comedy writer, actor, and creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000. He's the Wisconsin connection as a proud native. Joel, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, Kate, thanks for having me.
Oh, this is going to be fun. And so just to make sure we're all starting from the same place, the show about a guy stuck in space forced to watch bad movies with his homemade robot sidekicks and, you know, riffing on these movies, snarky comments. So I'm sure you have a better elevator speech, but what is the writing process like as it's evolved over decades?
Oh, thanks. And I wanted to correct you. We also have a woman host this year. Emily Marsh is our new is one of the new hosts as well.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. And the writing process is pretty elaborate. Each episode has over 700 riffs in it just during the movie. Mm. So we have actually this season we have over 50 writers that have worked on the show. It's usually about 8 or 10 people per episode. And so, yeah, it's quite a challenge. It takes a few weeks, and we produce actually 10 times that amount of riffs and then have to edit them, right? So we start with about 7,000 and then whittle it down to 700.
Wow. I wonder how you herd all those writers, whether it's like herding cats.
Yeah, fortunately, we have really good lead writers, people who like run the writing room, Matt McGinnis, Jonah Ray, who's one of our new hosts, people like that. So they have to be really good. And, you know, all our writers are Mystery Science Theater fans, so they know the drill. They know what to do. We're really happy and we're grateful to be doing our 13th season. The show's almost 35 years old.
How are the movies chosen?
Usually that's the process that goes to Matt McGinnis, who's our head of story. And he has to kind of go through them and find them. And then he shows them to me, and I kind of do the smell test and see if they're right for MST3K.
So if the essence of your work revolves around a group of funny friends watching, you know, bad movies and making fun of them, I wonder, does that carry over into your personality and how you go about the world today? I mean, do you make fun of things in your daily life? What's the chatter like in your head?
Well, what's funny is when I have friends that go to, you know, when we go to a movie, I have friends that maybe sometimes expect me to be funny during a movie, but I really am like everybody else. I'm hoping to get caught up into the movie and get taken away with it. I only start kind of saying stuff if the movie's not that good. So I'm like everybody else. And yeah, I get pretty indulged now after doing Mystery Science Theater. So people let me prattle on about anything.
Because, I mean, you were 28 when you first created it. Can you take us back to that origin story and how about? It's really special.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm from Wisconsin. I grew up in Fort Atkinson. The show that really profoundly affected me was a show, WITI, I believe. No, that's Milwaukee. Is that Madison?
No, Milwaukee, but go ahead.
Milwaukee, WISN maybe was in Madison. Channel 3 was a show called Circus 3 with Howie Olsen and Cowboy Eddie, and he was a ventriloquist. And so it had a huge effect on me, and I got to be on the show when I was 6 years old. My mom got my sister and I tickets, and he was a ventriloquist and a dummy hosting cartoons, and I'm kind of doing the same thing. I have puppets now, and we host cheesy movies. So that's where it kind of started for me. And WITI was Channel 4, and that's Albert the Alley Cat, and he used to riff on the weather. So I grew up having the Wisconsin and their puppets had a profound effect on me. But anyway, when I started Mystery Science Theater, I was in my late 20s. I had had a career as a stand-up comedian and been on Letterman and Saturday Night Live and the Young Comedian Special. And so I was kind of in a position to do my own show, and that's what I chose to do.
You have, you have twice raised millions of dollars from fans to keep Mystery Science Theater going. What about the show makes people want to give so much money and, you know, and make these Kickstarters so generous?
Well, I think it's built into the history of the show. When we started, cable was really in its infancy, and you couldn't really get it everywhere. And so we had a campaign that was kind of based on Abby Hoffman's book, Steal This Book. It was, we called it Keep Circulating the Tapes. And at that time, you couldn't get Comedy Central everywhere. And so we encouraged people to make videotapes and send them to their friends. And they did. And so they started distributing the show for us because it couldn't be seen in all the markets. And I think because it's similar to the Grateful Dead too, where they let people record their concerts and distribute them. And so we had a similar relationship with the audience. And so when we needed them, they were there for us. And I think it's part of the nature of the show too, where there's an invitation there because you can kind of figure out how we do everything because it's a puppet show. So you can kind of figure out how, you know, we don't, you know, it's, you can see the seams. And so I think there's an invitation there that is pretty transparent, and our show's not expensive. You know, for example, we've twice raised $7 million to do a new season. And I think, you know, one season is what a normal Star Trek costs, a Star Trek episode. So our shows are inexpensive too. So I think that has a lot to do with it. You get a lot for the money.
Big bang, a big gizmoplex for the buck. Mystery Science Theater 3000 creator Joel Hodgson, our guide to this cult classic, really, and the return of B-movie oddities and riffing. Join in, especially Misties, if you prefer to be called, 800-642-1234. We know you're out there. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's hear a bit of theme song to Mystery Science Theater 3000. Mad scientists taking over the world with help from bad movies, mostly from bygone eras. Here is lead mad Kinga Forrester.
I'll send them cheesy movies, the worst motion picture X. They'll have to sit and watch them all, and we'll stream them at the Gizmoplex. Now keep in mind they can't control.
Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have series creator and Wisconsin native Joel Hodgson, who stays with us, giving us an inside look at his robot pals world in the Gizmoplex era. Joel, take us to the Gizmoplex here, and this concept of a platform that, you know, is streaming and you can really do what you want, I would imagine. How is that working?
Oh my goodness. Well, again, like you mentioned, we had a Kickstarter about 18 months ago. We raised almost $7 million, and that bought us a new season, season 13, and it gave us enough money to build the Gizmoplex, which is our own streaming platform. Yeah, the backers were there for us, and now it's up and running. You can see it at gizmoplex.com. You can buy a day pass. You can buy a pass for a single episode, or you can get a season pass for the whole year. And that includes access to all of our episodes. There's almost 200 episodes there on the platform, as well as every 2 weeks we have a new event. For example, a week from Friday, we're premiering our first 3D episode, which is The Mask in 3D. And we distributed over 50,000 pairs of 3D glasses to our backers. And we also have them not in 3D in the Gizmoplex if you don't have the glasses. But you know how that feeling is when you watch 3D and it's never that great? Yes. It works perfect with Mystery Science.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Hey, I wanted to say, Kate, too, yeah. You know, Felicia Day's our new MAD, and she's a New York Times bestselling author. And Patton Oswalt is her evil assistant, Max. Uh-huh. The comedy luminary, of course.
Well,
I wanted to mention.
Give a shout out to them. Let's and their back and forth is really fun to watch. There's a lot of chemistry there. Let's go to Phil in Madison. Phil, hi, go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much for this conversation. I just wanted to say that growing up, I did not have cable. And so whenever I would go over to my friend Chris's house, we would watch Mystery Science 3 theater, you know, at night. And it was such a treat because we just loved that show so much. And the one episode that always stuck out, and I can't remember the movie, but it was an old, like, jazz band, and there was a guy that had his pants hiked up to his chest, and you broke away and started the same song, and the only lyrics you did were, hike, hike, hike your pants up. And that is the one episode that I remember to this day. And I think there's like an old YouTube clip of the show from that episode. So I still bring that up every once in a while and watch it.
Oh, Phil, thank you. Joel, go ahead with some
comments. That wasn't our show. That was a fever dream you had. No, he got it right. Absolutely. Well, I'm really glad you had a good experience with it. And that's what's funny about the show is people find it like we never. One of the secrets of our success is that we own the show. It just worked out that we weren't owned by HBO or anything like that. So it kind of has had this unique life just because we can do things like, hey, let's do a Kickstarter. Let's start up the brand again because we want to. So that's just part of the unique texture of it.
Phil, thank you. David now in Fort Atkinson. David, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just curious. I was kind of blown away when you said it was from Fort Atkinson because I knew that the Mystery Science Theater thing started in the upper Midwest here. But I've been a Mystery Science Theater fan for, geez, longer than I really care to admit. My favorite episode among all of them, though, was a movie called Cave Dwellers, and I just thought that was hilarious. I was just curious, though, what Joel thought his best episode was, in his opinion.
Picking a favorite
Thanks so much. You know, I was just in Fort Atkinson this weekend. I came this close to eating at the Pizza Villa, but I couldn't quite get it together. But I was in town. I was in Wisconsin for the Packer game. So I got to, I came in on Thursday, and my sister lives over in Cambridge. So really close to Fort. Anytime I got to stay with them and got to go hang out in Fort, it was just lovely. But as far as my favorite episode that I worked on, it's real peculiar because when we make a show and we've made over 220 feature length episodes, they kind of blur together and we don't know when we're making a really great one or just a marginal one because we're just trying our best and a lot of it has to do with the movie. But I think I Accuse My Parents might be my favorite that I worked on, that I was on camera for. And now I don't really do it that much. I'm the exec producer, but in the new season, I've done a few. I'm in a couple of the new ones. So I'm on there with two of the other hosts, which are Jonah Ray and Emily.
And you've got you're doing a Demon Squad, which is that low budget horror film from 2019. What did you see in that?
Oh my goodness. Well, I don't know. You know, all these movies are You know, I mean, naturally, we have a long list of movies that go back probably 60 years. And that one was one of our newer features. It's probably a couple years old. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But it's just a very ambitious movie for their budget. And they really, really went for it in a big way. And it made for a really good movie. And we were really lucky when we premiered it a couple of months ago. We had the creators of that movie on. And they were big Mystery Science Theater fans. So they are really gracious and very nice to have on the show. And we need that. We need people who are making movies that are okay with us riffing on them. That's the secret of our success. They're our dancing partners.
We only have a few seconds left, unfortunately. But how do you deal with burnout, or how do you deal with rejection?
You mean rejection from other people?
Or rejection from, you know, I mean, just, you know, anything like that, because you have put together so many shows.
Oh, well, I guess it's funny because we don't really get rejected. It's more like we have this unique fan base that loves what we do. So that's not really in there. Burnout, though, is a very real thing. And we've been working so hard. You know, our latest season was funded during COVID and made during COVID. And that was this season 13 was the hardest season we've ever done. When we first started, we thought we'd have to send camera packages and green screens to every one of our casts and have them make it from their homes. But fortunately, the restrictions let up a little bit, and we had to have two shoots, one in LA that ran about 6 weeks and one in Philadelphia that ran about 6 weeks to capture it all. So this one was the one that almost killed us, but we're still okay.
Oh, Joel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Joel Hodgson is a comedy writer, actor, and creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000, a Wisconsin native. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.